things. We had cups turned over all over our house. Turn it over. And I don't remember this, but this is a little story about when I was like 4 years old. We were at church and we were all holding hands and saying the Our Father, and little me was like, "And keep coming back." So that was a little foreshadowing. But I needed to have my own alcoholic journey. Just because I knew where to go doesn't mean that I wasn't didn't have my own sickness and thank God solution to find. And I'm so grateful that I'm here. You know, just a little bit about growing up. I had just a lot of shame. I was deep in that ism. My first sponsor taught me alcoholism. I separate myself. And I find that to be so true with this spiritual malady that we all have. And, well, most of us here. And when I picked up that first drink, it was like I had found my best friend. And suddenly, it was okay to be me. Like, this thing makes it okay to be me. And I just kept saying my first and last name over and over again in my grandmother's basement. I had, like, found the liquor. I don't know, even know whose idea it was to drink, but I found it, and it was, like, this mysterious holy grail thing. And I chased that feeling. I kept on chasing that feeling of being a part of life, of really living life. I only felt like I was really living life when I was drunk and using other substances, which are a part of my story, but I will not focus on. Quickly I was getting into trouble and just chasing that high. I got into a relationship, an abusive relationship, every sense of the word. And I was, you know, I couldn't see clearly, and I was obsessed with this person, and I was lying and cheating and stealing from my family. So, you know, when I finally got out of that relationship, I thought, you know, I can move forward now. I recognized that, you know, early, like in my teens, as a bottom in my life. But, you know, alcoholism followed me for sure. And it was still working. It was still a solution for me. And even when, you know, big things were happening in my life, it was always there as my best friend, you know, to be able to look the world in the eye. I had to have this thing. And I know I noticed always throughout my drinking that I wasn't like my friends. Like, weird things always happen when I was drinking. I was always ending up in strange situations with strange people and very close to dangerous things. So I went off to college and kept on drinking, but I was able to sort of keep it together to get the things that I thought I wanted, to get the things that I thought would make me happy. And I was getting them. On the outside, everything looked pretty great. Everything was kind of coming easy to me, but I had this black hole inside of me, and my favorite place to be was alone drinking and using other things or self-harming. Self-harming is a part of my story too. And I didn't understand why I was so sad. But you know, drinking was still working, and just a lot of shame, and I used any disappointments that I had. You know, the disease progressed, and I really noticed that in college, that I started to become a daily drinker, and it was like I would have my keys, my wallet, my phone, and a plastic water bottle like this, a clear plastic water bottle with whiskey. I don't know why I wouldn't drink a clear drink, but it was whiskey. And that was something that I used to say to myself, like, I'm not my mom, I'm not an alcoholic, because I knew that she drank wine. Thank you so much. Oh, I got to get sober. So I kept on drinking, and I crossed that invisible line, and, I started drinking and driving. I started drinking and driving people I loved, and I'm a performer. I learned how to be drunk on stage, and that was something I never thought that I would learn how to do or be doing, but I definitely did, and I don't know how I didn't get caught, but I didn't. So I kept on going, and I had my car packed up to move to New York City. And I was just too afraid. I was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and I was drinking and driving, and I blacked out on the road, and my car spun around on this scary bridge, around in circles, and banged on either side, and I got arrested that night. But that still wasn't enough for me to say goodbye to my best friend. You know, alcohol was the only thing that I really trusted. And I couldn't get through a day or even an hour without it. And but the scariest thing was, and I learned about in these rooms about this physical allergy that we have, is that it wasn't working anymore. You know, I could have a whole handle of something and not feel anything, or I could have a shot and feel like I was like over the moon. So it became really scary. And I started like dancing around the rooms of AA because I knew where to go, but I was drinking at meetings, and I just wasn't ready. And I eventually moved to New York City, and I didn't have any sort of miraculous night. It was just, I had one last night of embarrassing myself and hurting my friends, and I woke up the next day, and I fell to my knees, and I said, I can't do this alone. And I truly think those words weren't my own. It just seemed like they fell out of my mouth, and I was like, what? But I came to a meeting, and I started saying I'm an alcoholic, and I got a sponsor, but I really wasn't working the steps. And but hope was coming in. All of a sudden, I was able to be like, I was starting to be present in my own body, and starting to like look around and see clearly. And my sponsor moved to Spain, and he emailed me, and he said, you have to get a sponsor. You're in New York. If you're trying to stay sober without a sponsor, it's like going to war without a gun. You have to get a sponsor. So I stumbled into the midnight meeting on Houston Street, and I heard this little Russian lady, talking about the solution. She was talking about this hole inside of her that she had tried to fill with alcohol until it didn't work anymore. And now she was working this design for living, and it excited me so much, and I was just crazy enough to ask her to sponsor me, and she brought me here to this group, and I was so scared of all of you, and sometimes I still am, but I know that I'm not alone. You know, I know that you are all like me, and that's such a relief. Every time I step into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm reminded that I'm not alone. My sponsor told me today just to talk to the newcomer, to focus on that. And I just want to say, like, if you are a newcomer and you're having a hard time, or if you're not a newcomer and you're having a hard time, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. This lady pushed me into the steps, and I just wanted to feel better. And she told me to do a lot of things that I didn't want to do, but when I did them, I felt better. So I did them some more. And I keep on doing them because they make me feel better. And I actually have a reason for living today. I know there's the part in Bill's story where it says that Ebby came to Bill, and there was something about his eyes that was different. And I always think to myself, I always cry when I read that, because it was that he had something to give, you know. And that's how I feel about getting sober. It's almost time. I just have so much gratitude. My life is unbelievable. I'm getting kind of, I had a huge dream come true for me this year. And I couldn't have done it if I hadn't done, if I hadn't done the things that I didn't want to do. So that's something that I'll say. And I'll also say, God. I learned to lean on a power greater than myself, which today is just an idea for me of leaning on a best friend that's with me all the time, or just looking up at the sun and just knowing that that's bigger than me. And on most days, I kind of like me, and that's new. So thank all to you, to all of you, and that's it. Bye.
My name is Gina, and I'm an alcoholic. Our seven